We read God's Word this evening in Daniel chapter 7. The prophecy of Daniel in chapter 7. Hear the Word of God. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of men, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, in his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured break in pieces and stamp the residue with his teeth, with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, "The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until the time, and times, and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion, and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." We read that far in God's holy and inspired word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the book of Daniel is prophecy. That's the genre that we are in. It's important to remember, children and people of God, that this is prophecy. That means that God is revealing unto us future events. Future events not only for Daniel and the remnant within Babylon, but future events for us, God's people. Today, it is prophecy. Even when we consider the first 6 chapters of the book of Daniel, we have already seen that this is prophecy. It was a unique kind of prophecy in that we saw that it was also history, real stories, not merely stories, but true stories of that which took place in the time of the captivity of Judah. We saw a real history of the Babylonian captivity, of Nebuchadnezzar's dreams, of his image, of the fiery furnace, of the handwriting on the wall, of the lion's den. History. And yet at the same time, we saw that this history in the first 6 chapters of the book of Daniel was also prophecy, because the history told us stories of that which pictured or typified the anti-Christian kingdom that we face today and will face in the future. The first 6 chapters was history, that is also prophecy. But now in chapter 7 to the end, we begin a new section in Daniel. Still prophecy, but a different kind of prophecy. It's a prophecy called apocalyptic prophecy. That it is apocalyptic means that it is symbolic. It's much like the book of Revelation, full of dreams and visions that are not so easy to interpret at times. And I don't intend to interpret every single detail of all the symbols here in Daniel 7 through the end. Apocalyptic literature, full of symbols that point us to what will come in the end times. And so we can call it not only apocalyptic, but also eschatological. That is eschatology. This is about the end times. Not only about what would come after Daniel, but also what will come in our days, especially before Jesus returns. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Daniel wrote this section, beginning of chapter 7, to teach us apocalyptic, eschatological prophecy. The beginning of chapter 7 shows us when Daniel received this vision. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, we read. That makes clear that we must rewind in our minds to the time before the lion's den, the time before Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall, the time before the Medes and Persians took over. Chapter 7 brings us back to when Babylon was still the world power. At that time, God sent this vision or dream to Daniel, which greatly troubled him. Greatly troubled him is significant, because that is unlike Daniel's character. You remember in the past chapters when Daniel and his friends faced lions, persecutions, fire, and standing before wicked kings that could cut off their heads. Daniel and his three friends did not fear. They were known for their courage. But now in chapter 7, we see Daniel afraid. That's what troubled means. Verse 28, as for me, Daniel, my cogitations or thoughts much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me. The dreams that Daniel received were more terrifying to Daniel than that which he had faced real life before the lions. It is a nightmare that Daniel explains to us in Daniel 7. And when Daniel awakes from this dream or vision, he does not quickly dismiss it as just a dream, because Daniel knows by the work of the Spirit in his heart that this dream is prophetic. It is apocalyptic, eschatological prophecy. It's going to be fulfilled. And that is what is so jarring, so troubling to Daniel. Beloved, although I preach this sermon with a prayer that you may leave here still with God's comfort within your heart, yet at the same time, the prayer is also that this Word of God may jar you awake if you are sleeping spiritually. Jar you awake from any kind of American dream that you might have for the future, and that you might see the reality of the beasts of the anti-Christian kingdom that you will face and do already face in this world. The beasts from the sea is the theme based on chapter 7 of Daniel. First, their identity. Second, their character. And finally, their judgment. Children, remember, this is a nightmare. This is a night terror that Daniel knows is going to happen in real life. It's going to be fulfilled. And to impress you with this, we have to try to get into the mind of Daniel and understand the fearfulness of this dream. First, Daniel saw the raging sea. This itself was fearful. The raging sea, verse 2, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the sea. And verse 3 speaks of the sea again. And four beasts came up from the sea. And I know I'm getting into the meaning of this dream already now, but this is to impress upon you the fearfulness of this sea in Daniel's dream. The sea represents this whole world. This sea is supposed to be a symbol of the nations of this earth in which we now dwell. That's what this raging sea pictures. Verse 17 proves that. When the angel interprets what the sea means, we read, "These great beasts, which are four kings or kingdoms, which shall arise out of the earth." The angel tells us that when these beasts arise out of the sea, that sea represents the earth. Isaiah 57 verse 20 confirms that the wicked, that is the wicked world, are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. What's so terrifying about that sea? Well, plunge into Daniel's dream with me as he slept, as he saw this entire world, this earth. He saw it become like a sea in the midst of a tempest or a storm. The ground, the buildings, the technology, the nations, the kings, all became as a great billowing sea of turmoil. Daniel sees the world in chaos. Daniel sees the world in conflict, fighting against one another. That's what the word strove means in verse 2. There was fighting upon the great sea. As the mighty winds blew upon the waters of the sea, it was as though the waters were crashing, fighting against one another. The water swirled. It was the worst storm imaginable. If you had been on that sea, you would have been a boat tossed to and fro, and you would have been sunk, shipwrecked in the midst of that sea. Psalm 46 that we sang of describes it. "The waters thereof roar and be troubled." It's an angry sea. That's what this world is like. And if you are not conscious of that, you are like Jonah, sleeping in the bottom of the boat, spiritually. That itself is frightening for anyone who knows world history and current events. They know that this world is indeed an angry sea. This is a precise illustration of it. And the four beasts come from this sea, we read in verse 3. These beasts, we realize, do not originate from Mars. They don't come from a different planet. They're not aliens that suddenly arrive upon this earth and attack. Their origin, notice, is from this earth, from this sea in which we now dwell. I'm trying to show you what struck Daniel with such great fear. These monsters, these beasts, did not suddenly begin to exist and wreak havoc. That would be scary enough. But they, with their beastly character, had already been at work, hidden underneath the surface, as it were, of the world where Daniel dwelt, and we with him. Within and from among humanity, before humanity even recognizes it, the beasts were already raging in this sea. And in time, they burst out of the sea to show their power. But they're already there, in and among us. That's what's so fearful about this dream, this prophecy. The four terrible beasts which Daniel saw were not beautiful. They were not beautiful creatures that you see at the zoo, children. They were grotesque, deformed monsters. The first beast was not a lion. Verse 4 says the first was like a lion. The comparison to a lion was meant to distinguish the beasts from each other and not to identify the beasts as animals. It was gold, perhaps, of yellowish brown in color like a lion. Perhaps it had a mane and teeth and claws like a lion, but it was a lion-like monster. And to prove it wasn't a lion, the verse describes that sprouting out of its sides were eagle's wings. Wings which became naked, pink, ugly, useless appendages because its feathers were plucked out of it. In this lion-like monster with bare wings stood up on its end like a man with pride, and a man's heart was given to it. It's grotesque. It's weird. It's awful. Daniel was troubled at its sight as it burst forth from the sea. And what troubled him probably even more was that this beast was a parallel. This beast pointed to Nebuchadnezzar the king. King Nebuchadnezzar, remember, that seemed nice, especially after Daniel had shown the interpretation to him. King Nebuchadnezzar, who seemed to have converted, seemed repentant after Daniel or his three friends showed the greatness of the Lord. But now God proves to Daniel and to us, Nebuchadnezzar is not a converted believer. But here is the true nature of Nebuchadnezzar and the kings like him. He is represented by this proud, lion-like, deformed monster. The beast. The second beast Daniel describes bursting out of the sea of nations was again not a bear, but like a bear. With bear-like qualities. While the lion-like monster emphasizes the great pride of that first kingdom, this big bear-like beast represents a devourer. An eater standing up on its back legs with an immense appetite to eat, to consume. His mouth is full of three ribs, not cooked ribs, but bloody dripping ribs, raw in its teeth. And there were voices that told him, eat more, devour more flesh, flesh. Daniel's troubled as it burst forth from the sea, not only because of the grotesque nature of this bear-like beast, but because he knew immediately that it was just like the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. Daniel knew the political climate of the day. He knew the Medes and the Persians were already, they were coming. They were coming for Babylon. They were conquering. They were devouring nation after nation with its mouth full with blood and ribs already. The Medes and the Persians were coming to eat up Babylon as well. Third, Daniel describes a third beast which burst from the sea like a leopard. Not a leopard, but like a leopard, spotted maybe. But what is emphasized by the leopard is that this kingdom had lightning quick speed. First, lion-like pride. Second, devouring nature of a bear. And third, the speed of a leopard. With four wings grotesquely sprouting from its side, and this leopard pressing forward with great speed, swiftly to destroy, surprise, and attack nations. At any moment, it would come. This beast was very similar to the swift overtaking Greek army of Alexander the Great that would come after the Medes and the Persians, with its four generals, which would later, after Alexander the Great, become the rulers of Greece. The fourth beast, however, was the worst. Different from all the other beasts. Behold, verse 4, the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. This is Daniel's way of saying that this fourth beast was so distorted, so grotesque, so monstrous, that it was unlike any animal on this earth. You couldn't even attach a name of the animal to it. So different was it. It wasn't like a lion. It wasn't like a bear. It wasn't like a leopard. It resembled none of these. It was more like a machine. A piece of technology. Let that resonate. With teeth made of iron to destroy. Like a cruel machine of mass destruction, the stamp with its brass feet. Not to consume and destroy because it was so hungry like the other beasts, but merely out of hate and cruelty. And protruding out of its cold metallic head were 10 horns, one of which would come forth to replace 3. With eyes and mouth like a man. Perhaps representing Rome. Slightly. These four beasts of Daniel symbolize the kingdoms of this world, which rule one after another in succession, each one coming up out of the sea, the raging sea, in their own time. Kingdoms like Babylon, the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks, and Rome. But it would be a mistake, beloved, for us to imagine that these beasts only picture Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. It would be dangerously wrong to imagine that. Do not limit your understanding of these beasts as representing 4 empires of the past. But rather understand that these 4 monsters represent the different kingdoms of men even after Daniel. But remember, Daniel is prophetic. Daniel is eschatological. Daniel is showing us not only that which was coming in Daniel's future, but also in our future. Verse 12 says, as concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. That's Daniel's way of saying that each of those beasts, when they came up and then were destroyed or went away, they were not utterly destroyed, but these beasts continued to live. We can put it this way, the beasts of Daniel's vision, after losing their power, did not disappear, they did not get annihilated, but they, as it were, having arisen out of the sea, now disappear back under the surface of the tumultuous sea in order to hide until it was the right time again to raise their ugly heads. You have only to read history, what happened after the Roman Empire. There were other empires or kingdoms. Think about Hitler's Germany, Nazi Germany. Think about Stalin's Russian Empire. The Japanese Empire. The times of World War I and II. Fearful beasts with great power vying for power. History reveals that more than just Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And it's not just history books you should crack open, but you only have to look at the news to realize that these beasts still rage today. China is rising in power. Russia, America itself, and this swirling sea. Daniel's prophecy is about beasts, not merely of the past, but of the present and the future. Here's another proof that the beast can not only refer to Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. Revelation 13. Turn to Revelation 13. In Revelation 13, the Apostle John wrote 600 years after Daniel, after Babylon and Persia and Greece lost their dominion. And this is what the Apostle John predicts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, verses 1 and 2 of Revelation 13. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Beloved, it is no coincidence that this one beast of Revelation 13, which you recognize as a prediction of the anti-Christian kingdom to come yet, that this one beast of the anti-Christian kingdom is a combination of all the beasts that Daniel speaks of in Daniel chapter 7. Like a lion, leopard, and bear. And with all of its heads, like that last fourth beast. John received a vision from God much like Daniel's, and says that there is this beast yet to come. Yet to come. We are not preterists. That's a theological term that you should know. We're not preterists. A preterist is one who says all that fearful stuff that you find in Matthew 24, for example, all the precursory signs that we talk about, the wars and rumors of wars, and the covering up of the sun, and the dropping of the stars, and the persecution and tribulation, all that fearful stuff, that's already been fulfilled. That's what a preterist says. That took place already at 70 AD when Jerusalem was destroyed. So we don't have to think about that coming to pass in the future. And they would say the same thing about Daniel 7 and Revelation 13. And we don't have to be concerned about having to face that in the future. It's not near, at least. And those who preterize the passages of Scripture are part of the post-millennial mindset that this world is actually getting better and better. And we can ignore the fact that the beasts are among us and in the midst of the sea. And I say unto you this evening, that's not only wrong, that's dangerous, that's a false expectation. God's message through Daniel is the exact opposite. Do not have that false expectation. The sea in which we live, this nation, the nations of the world, have those beasts within them. And soon, you can already see the evidence of it. The lion, bear, leopard, and technological monsters will unite as one seemingly almighty power against the church and against Christ. That's their character. They're anti-Christian. They will culminate in the one anti-Christian power before Christ returns. 1 John 2 verse 18 speaks of many antichrists in the plural. We've talked about them. But also one antichrist in His kingdom, soon to be. That anti-Christian kingdom soon to be is especially emphasized by the last beast, and Daniel's especially afraid of that last one and inquires about it. Verse 19, he asked the angel about that fourth beast. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful. Daniel asks that angel explicitly, what is the character of that last beast? And the answer of the angel, which we sum up now, we must remember that we might be prepared and we might watch and pray. The character of the anti-Christian kingdom, which this last beast shows us, is first of all, that it will be a political kingdom, a political power. It will not only be a political power, but it will be a political power that rules over the whole earth. Verse 23, the angel explains to Daniel, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse or different from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Whether it be by brute force, represented by the stamping of its brass feet upon the nations, or it be by the political negotiations of this kingdom, this last kingdom will rule over the entire earth, over all the nations, over all the kingdoms of this earth. Revelation 20, verse 8, parallels this and puts it this way. And he, that is the Antichrist and his kingdom, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Right now, there is still the tumult, the conflict of a raging sea. Nations compete in sports. Nations compete in war. Nations compete in the development of technology. Nations compete in the development of weapons. Nations have different languages, which are barriers. Nations have cultural differences. They're not yet united. And God ensures it. Here's what Daniel and Revelation both reveal. The conflict among the nations will cease. And there will be a certain world peace, or united nations, under one kingdom, with the pride of a lion, with the greed of a bear, with the speed of a leopard, and with the technological prowess of that diverse beast. And how will they unite? What will be the unification, the unifying factor? The common hatred of Christ and His church, the common enemy that they have. That's the second characteristic of this anti-Christian kingdom. It'll be one political kingdom, but united against Christ and His church. Verse 21, I beheld, and the same horn from this last beast made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Revelation 19, 19, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse, that's Christ, and against his army, that's his church. With temptation of all kinds, with persecution, worse than a fiery furnace, the nations of this world will unite against Christ and His church. One world, one green, technologically advanced, safe, peaceful, Christianized according to outward morality, social justice, equal rights, no poverty world of great toleration for everyone except the true Christ. And third, that kingdom will be united by one man. One man. In Daniel's dream, this one man called the Antichrist is represented by one horn which displaces three with the power of three. This hypocrite of hypocrites, this ape of Christ who will make himself look at least outwardly like Christ, is the wicked one described in 2 Thessalonians 2, doing all signs and lying wonders. Real miracles will he perform. This one man who will be seemingly nice, even seemingly converted like Nebuchadnezzar, but a beast. One mighty man, like Hitler, who will deceive not only one nation, but the nations. Are you watching? Are you praying? Or is your head in the sand of this sea? Is your head in your screens? Are you going to be surprised? Are you surprised by the wickedness around? Will you be when that beast and its horn arises from the sea? Fourth, about the character, he will be an ecclesiastical power, that is, a power in the church. Not only a political power, I said, but also a power within the church. You must recognize this. I'll put it this way, people of God, he will be a great preacher, this Antichrist. He will. A speaker, eloquent, intelligent, passionate, with charisma, full of fresh ideas. People will say he's edifying, interesting illustrations, never boring. It will be with his speaking, it will be with his preaching that he will deceive many. Along with his preaching, he will do many lying wonders and miracles, but there will be a power to his speaking as well. Verse 8 shows us that. It describes the horn with eyes speaking great things. Speaking great things. Like a Spurgeon. Like a Churchill. Like your favorite preacher. One reason, beloved, not the only reason, but one reason for the Lord showing sins and falls of ministers, even within our own denomination, is so that we are reminded that we may not trust man, as great of a speaker as he may be, and so that we are reminded that the very Antichrist will be someone who will be a great preacher, a great speaker. He shall speak great words, verse 25, but they will be against the Most High. Oh, it won't seem to be against the Most High, but they will be against the Most High. He will change laws. He will change the Word of God, though. He will make it seem like he's speaking the Word of God. And the people who have stopped reading their Bibles long ago and have forgotten actually what the Bible says, will imagine that he, when he quotes Scripture, is interpreting it correctly. He will be an ecclesiastical power. And finally, he will be the embodiment of Satan. He will have the dragon's power. Satan, who is called in 2 Corinthians 11:14 an angel of light, will be working in him to do that preaching, to do the miracles, to make himself look like Christ, to have great political support and power, to enamor the church world, together with a great ecumenical movement, the different religions under him, so that he might wear, verse 25, he might wear out the saints of the Most High. So terrible will this anti-Christian beast be that Daniel, whose courage we have been impressed by, is terribly frightened with this dream. But the message this evening, though I've expanded on the explanation of the identity of these beasts and the anti-Christian kingdom, the calling this evening is not to fear. It is not to be troubled like Daniel was troubled, and I dare say this evening, for once in my series on Daniel, that you are not to be like Daniel. You are not to fear like Daniel. You are not to fear these beasts. Fear not. Because of what Daniel's name means, remember, God is my judge. He is ours. And he is the judge of the nations, the judge that rules, and the judge that will bring judgment for our salvation. He is still infinitely stronger than any of these beasts and all of these beasts put together. He will judge for me and for you, his people. In this dream, Daniel sees not only the beasts, but he sees the judge and the judgment, verses 9 and 10. I beheld till the thrones, meaning the thrones of these beasts and the kings, were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000, referring to the angels, stood before him. And the judgment was set, and the books were open. God revealed to Daniel within this fearful dream himself, who is the Ancient of Days described here. Ancient means old. But children, young people, you are not to think of someone who is old in the sense of someone who is decrepit, someone who is dying. You are not to think of one who is old with disrespect and dishonor, as many do today. But this old one, this ancient one, is God Himself Almighty. And the fact that He is described here as one who is ancient means that He is eternal. He has always existed. He has no beginning nor any end. He has always ruled. God is showing to Daniel and to us, even before the Antichrist and before any kingdom came to rise out of the sea, He has always ruled. He has always been on the throne. He is the Ancient of Days. And not only with His white hair to symbolize His eternality, but with fire all around, it shows God shows Himself as a holy God, full of holy hatred against sin in any kingdom of Antichrist that would come up and rise against Him and His people. He will not allow evil to continue with His holiness. While He does sovereignly govern all beasts so that they cannot so much as move, except it be His will, He brings brings them down to destruction in His holiness. God is not frantic in heaven. Never was. He's sitting on His throne, calm. Everything is going according to His perfect plan. Even in the midst of this troubled sea, not one beast can arise to power. Not one can devour, except it be the Lord's will. Verse 11 shows His judgment. I beheld, then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. This judgment will come soon. There's a time limit, a strict time limit. Verse 25, they shall be given into His hand, that is, God's people shall be given into His hand, the hand of the beast, until a time, and times, and the dividing of time. That last dividing of time means that the time of oppression and persecution by the anti-Christian kingdom will be cut short, so that the elect will be preserved. And the judgment may come against all the kingdoms and nations of this world. But how do you know? Finally, how do we know that at that judgment, we will not be destroyed along with the Antichrist and his kingdom? Though we deserve it. Because that beast, remember this morning, is in that old man within your heart, still prone by nature to hate Christ and His people. How do you know that you will not be destroyed in that last judgment, and that God is my judge, as Daniel's name means? Verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought Him near before Him. The Son of Man there, as you know, is Jesus Christ. And what that verse is predicting is the ascension of Christ. The ascension of Jesus Christ 600 years before Christ came. Daniel shows us this Son of Man ascending into heaven to the right hand of the Ancient of Days. Ascension implies descension. Ephesians 4:9. He that ascended, what is it? But He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. First, this Son of Man descended to us very low to take upon Himself the guilt of our beastly hearts, to suffer as though He was the beast, to endure the curse of the cross, to die as He suffered that descension into hell. And He that descended gained the victory. He earned the right to ascend and to bring all those for whom He has died to ascend with Him unto glory one day. Those who believe in this Son of Man who first descended that he might ascend with all the rights of salvation earned for himself and his people. Those who believe in this Son of Man, our judge, may be confident that when he returns, the judgment will be for us. Fear not, little flock. Fear not the kingdoms and the nations of this world. And fear not that last judgment. For he returns. He returns as the ascended Lord to bring us to ascend with him. Here is one way to sum it up. The hope for those who trust in this Son of Man. The sea of Daniel's dream. A tumultuous sea with which we began. Out of which came all the beasts. The sea which represents the world. All the nations of the world united against Christ. Revelation 21, verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we face anti-Christian powers today already, full of deception, temptation, persecution, as we see in Thy Word the reality of that which is yet to come, we pray, preserve us and our children, and comfort us with Thy Word so that we do not fear. The nations rise, though the mighty seas roar, grant his eyes to see the Son of Man who has first descended and now has ascended to rule over all, to bring that judgment for our salvation and for his glory. And so with confidence in him we do pray, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.